have hope in your life right now, and I'm talking about the kind that is so glistening and overflowing with abundance that you are absolutely sure that the future is brighter. Well, my friends, if you do not have the kind of hope that is glistening and overflowing to abundant joy right now in a certain area of your life, there's probably a stronghold there. And we want to help you break that today, because hope is our birthright. It's what we were wired with. And hope is so big and so incredible that it can't just be a casual byword these days, because we are all living in a place where we are hoping for at least one breakthrough, one significant thing in our lives. So welcome to Color Speak. I'm J.M. Huxley, Janet Huxley. I'm here with my friends today, and my friends are experts on hope, and they're here to encourage you. And first of all, I have Peggy Adams back with me today. I also have Missy Maxwell Wharton today, and Donna Bess is joining us today, and I'm thrilled to have all of them. They're all authors, they all have a heart for Jesus, and they've all experienced profoundness, I should say, in the Holy Spirit. And so they're the perfect people to talk about hope. And I'm going to turn the reins over to Peggy today, and she is going to lead on this. So, and by the way, rather than just introducing all of you, would you just give everyone just a quick snippet of who you are so our audience knows whom they're getting advice from? So, yes. Peggy, you first.
Thank you, Janet. Yes, I'm Peggy Adams. I live in Greensboro, North Carolina area, a little small town called Madison. I am a minister, I am an author, and I'm in the process of writing my favorite topic, which is intimacy with Jesus. And so I'm in the process of writing a book on intimacy, and hope is a topic that we all walk with, we have to go through, we have to experience. And so I'm excited about talking about this today. And so I'm going to turn it over to Donna, since she's to my right, and ask her to share next.
My name is Donna Bess. I live in the...
Oh, Donna, hold up. Move forward so that we can hear you better.
My name is Donna Bess, and I live in the Nashville area. I'm an author of Sidetracked to Surrender. It is my true story that started when I was 17. It's about some of the things that we're going to talk about today. And I felt that in the process of writing my book, I learned what real hope was for the first time. And I'm really excited to be here today to share some of those nuggets with you. And I'm going to pass it to Missy.
Hi, I'm Missy Maxwell Wharton. I am an award-winning author, a speaker, a coach, and my book called Don't Mess With This Mama is about us rescuing our six-year-old adopted daughter from going into child enslavement. And through that journey, we did learn to put our hope in the Father, to put our hope in Christ. And it's just put us in a different place where we see things in a different light. Once you go through some of the hardest times, it really took us to a new level of belief and faith in a God who is always there for us. So that's who I am.
Awesome. And so, Janet, you have anything else you want to share for the new ones that don't know Janet? Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. So I guess, yeah, I am a mom of eight, and I have my seventh grandchild due in about a month, and we live on a farm south of Kansas City. And I also was prompted by the Lord to write after years in the broadcasting field. I just felt that it was important to share sort of the evolution, the whole process of how I went from flying traffic and reporting in Kansas City to landing on a small farm, or in San Diego rather, to landing on a small farm. And I also wrote a book called Milk in Honeyland. And that was just a really, just a heart posture toward the Lord and his prompting to share how that all happened. And I'll just say, you know, to those tuning in, every one of us has been through some junk, right? I mean, you can't live in this world and not have literally been in the trenches. So it's important that we all share our testimony. We've talked about this before, we overcome our adversary by the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony. And so when we share our stories, it really encourages, and I'll just say I am so encouraged by all of your stories and the guests that I have had on the podcast. I think for me, it's just the blessing's been all mine. And I find myself pondering all of your stories all of the time in terms of how to navigate life and remembering those things that the Lord has done for others as well as myself.
Yay. Amen. So before we get into maybe sharing a little bit more our stories or what God has put on our heart to talk about hope, I do want to, because I am a teacher, I like to teach as well. So I do want to share just a little bit about what hope is. Hope is not, I hope so, because that's negative. That's not God's kind of hope. Hope is really backed by faith. The Lord gave me 1 Corinthians 13:13, which says, and now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest is love. And so if we don't understand God's love and we don't understand what faith is, hope is sandwiched in between it. And so faith kind of pushes hope and love surrounds it. And so we have to really have an understanding of all of these, not just God's love for us, but how we love other people. And so our topic isn't love because we did that in February, but we are, these three do work together. And so I'm just going to share just real quickly what hope is. Hope is expectation, it's trust, it's confidence, it's to anticipate with pleasure and to welcome. It's confidently expecting that something will happen and waiting patiently for it. With a lot of people say they're waiting patiently for it, but they don't do it with joy and pleasure because God has promised it. All of God's promises are yes and amen. And so if he has promised something, we can hope and trust and believe that it's going to happen. And so having said that, I kind of just want to get some insight from some of you guys. What is maybe a specific situation? And I know all of you, and I know your stories, and I know, where God has brought you from. So all of you live and have lived a life of hope. And so I'm going to go ahead and go with Missy first. So just share with us, and then we'll just kind of all, this is just going to kind of be just a navigating around. I'll kind of try to stir the ship, but for the most part, we're just going to talk. Okay. So I'll give it to Missy.
Okay. So when we were talking about speaking about hope, I thought, well, okay, what is the opposite of hope? And that is hopelessness. But we're born optimistic. We are born optimistic yes. about life, that things are going to go amazing. I mean, you look at any child, they can get in trouble, and 2 minutes later, they're smiling and giggling and just love you. They don't care. It's like not to say a dog, but I can get upset with my dog, and they just love me to pieces even after I scold them. But we're so optimistic. And so what happens to our hope? And I really started thinking about that. Okay, what brings on hopelessness to where I think my story has gone so wrong that I literally am at the what we call the pinch of my story, and I'm ready to just give up? Mm-hmm. What takes us to that level? And there are so many things. But one of the things that I really think it is in living in the past a lot of times. Of course, it's got both things going on. But so often in our past is circumstances. So circumstances that if we continue to think about them and the what ifs and the guilt and the shame that it can heap on, suddenly it just starts heaping on more and more hopelessness. But I've got good news, because the only way that hopelessness could have followed you into the future is you brought it. And the good news about that is that means you can stop it. And yeah. so I just, I looked at it and I was like, hopelessness is that holding on to something that no longer serves you. Yeah. And the future, the reason a child is so optimistic is they're looking at the best that the future has. And our Father in Jeremiah 29:11, I mean, he tells us right there, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And some say a future and a hope. So I think if we just really do what I call prophesy, and that is, instead of looking at the situation where it is or where it's been, stop carrying it to the future and say, "I just thank you, Father, that I'm not going to put my hope in what the doctor is saying. I'm putting my hope in you. I'm putting my hope in my diagnosis that I'm going to get a good report. I'm seeing it differently because you're in charge, not that doctor. You're in charge, not me, but you are in charge." But the beautiful thing, too, that I just want to put there here is that when we do line our faith up and our hope up to Christ and, you know, in what he has in store for us, then suddenly our heart shifts. And when our heart truly shifts that things are going to be okay, then it goes from the heart to the mind connection, heart-brain connection, and we start seeing it differently. We start, then what's in the brain, we start speaking it differently.
So I love that. We start speaking hope.
We start That's speaking important. Hope, but we first have to feel it. Yeah. You have to feel it, then you have to think about it, then you start speaking it. Mm-hmm. And once you start speaking that hope, you start seeing your life change. You start seeing things happen. So that's what I'll say about hope.
that is so good, Missy. And I want to go back to something that you kept emphasizing, and that's our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because our thoughts many times rob us, because we either think on what was, we think on what happened in the past, and so we can't have hope for what can lead us into the future. And so when we learn to cast down our thoughts, these negative thoughts or these thoughts that remain in the past, instead of looking ahead to what Christ has done, then once we can do that and we can capture those thoughts and say, "No, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to align my thoughts with the Word of God and what does the Word say," then we can move forward in hope, and we can have faith and trust that's going to bring what we're hoping for to pass. And so I think that was a huge key that you put in there, is we've got to pay attention and change the way we think. Take those thoughts captive and say, "No, I'm not going to think that way. That's not aligning with God and His Word." And it takes practice. It takes doing it and continuing to do it and not beating ourselves up if we miss it or think, you know, "Well, I've sinned." And no, we've got to get out of this sin conscious about everything, because you know, we are loved by our beloved Father and our beloved King Jesus. And so I think that was a key of what you said on our thoughts. Does somebody else want to say something in that line before I go to Donna? Well, go ahead, Donna.
I want to say something about that. I 100% agree with you that it's our thoughts, but I also think that it's equally important with what we speak. There's this expression that says something like, every person has a queen and a fool, or a king and a fool, and depending on which one you speak to is which one emerges. You know, and I mean, I know that that is absolutely the truth in my life. I know that the thing that I focused on was the thing that was biggest. And when I was a Christian leader, Bible-believing Christian leader, and I was the most depressed I had ever been in my whole life, and was suicidal. I mean, I believed the Word of God. I was a women's leader. I ministered to people all the time. I would tell you all the right things, but inside of me, that didn't exist. Inside of me, I was crumbling at every turn. Inside of me, I was filled with shame, because there was a whole part of my life that I didn't tell people. I didn't think that people needed to know. It wasn't going to help them. It wasn't going to bless them. So I didn't talk about it. I just ignored it and pressed on with the to-do list. And I can't remember where I was reading this in scripture the other day. I was listening to to the Message version, and it called it the salvation of self-help. I was like, oh, that is so good, because, you know, we learn all the rules to follow. We learn all the rituals to perform. But until we get past, you know, those things, and we start changing the way we think and the way we speak, and we start actually entering in with the intimacy that you were talking about, Peggy, all of it's for naught. I mean, we can build an entire Christian life with zero power, with no power. And when there's no power, your foundation can crumble at any moment with the right twig of a finger.
Yeah, that's good. And so I'd like to go with what you said about our words. Janet, do you have something that you could bring forth that in using our words either the right way or the wrong way that can affect our hope?
So what I'm really taking away from what you all have said so far, and something that I've really been pondering a lot lately and processing through, is responsiveness. I think as members of the church body at large, we have been sort of, for lack of a better word, programmed into what we call responsiveness and what appropriate responsiveness is. Instead of, as daughters of the true King with power that resides in us, that rose Jesus from the grave, we have neglected to step out and not just be responsive, but to take charge. And I've learned that too. Like, there's three areas in my life that I have been contending for decades. And, you know, I'm just coming to terms with now, in this sort of new age of enlightenment, with the understanding that, no, I was called into partnership with Him. And I am supposed to speak these things into existence, because with the power of Christ that lives in me, understand that's the same power that spoke everything into creation. Mm-hmm. So we have so missed that point. And I'm so encouraged by that, because I realize now that for the longest time, I have been not just complacent, but I've been weakened by this mentality. And I have sort of played the victim. You know, I really have. I mean, I've been tried to be humble and contrite and patient and waiting and, you know, just beside myself, honestly, until I realized, wait a minute, I'm the daughter of a King. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where my hope resides. That's my birthright. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So when you understand hopelessness, as you talked about, Missy, as something that is literally creating a stronghold, and hope is something that is equated and literally synonymous with breakthrough, it's a game changer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as you're saying that, I'm remembering the scripture in Proverbs that says, hope deferred or hope delayed can make the heart sick. We can actually, when we don't stay consistent on believing and trusting and stay in hope that what God has promised is going to come to pass, we can actually bring sickness to ourselves because we get discouraged, we get depressed, we get down. All these things start coming against us. And it's not God's plan, but it's when we keep our eyes off of Him and when we put our eyes on our circumstance and we don't look to the hope that's already been put before us. And so that's really good. And so...
May I just add one more thing? Because yeah. I know Donna needs to talk, but I process through this a lot. You know, there's that verse in scripture that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And I don't know about y'all, but I have been before my dad and said, you're exasperating me. You know, I mean, how many decades do I need to plead with you? And then our friend who's not here today, Carolyn, she had said, no, you're going about it wrong. It's not pleading. You know who you are through Christ. Please do not misunderstand those of you who are tuning in. I'm not suggesting that, you know, the power is all ours by any means, but it's partnership. We haven't understood that, the partnership part of it. That's what it's all about.
I fully agree with you. Thank you for sharing that. So Donna, you want to share maybe an incident that you've had to really just have hope and it felt like the hope was even going to just dissipate, but you just kept going and kept pressing in.
Sure. I would like to say first that I feel like, for me at least, hopelessness has often been based in fear that things cannot change.
Yeah.
Things will not change.
Right.
What is. What's that expression? It is what it is. I don't even know how many years I said that. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so the expectation is that there will be no change. And when you get to that place, you are hopeless. I mean, you're done with even thinking that it's going to go anywhere. And yet the Bible is replete with like amazing turnaround stories. You're like, Esther, Jeremiah, Joseph. I mean, there's so many. And yet somehow you have this inability to see that it can be you. It can be your turnaround story.
Yeah.
But I have experienced that turnaround story when I probably one of the most significant moments was when I was pregnant. This always makes me cry. When I was pregnant with my third child, I was at the bottom. I just decided I don't even want to have anything to do with life anymore. My marriage was terrible. Life was terrible. Everything about life was terrible. I was a Christian leader. I hate to just keep saying that, but you know, it's not lack of knowledge that was the problem. It was lack of connection with the Father, you know?
Yes.
But I was suicidal. I kissed my kids goodbye and I left to go kill myself. And in that drive, God intervened.
Wow.
In a miraculous way. I heard him and I knew that this, even though it was just a glimmer of hope, it was just a glimmer. Over the course of the next several hours, many things happened, and I won't go into those now, but God just kept peeling away the problems, peeling away the stress. And by the end of it, I was like, you're real. This is real. You're really doing this. You're turning around my story. And that's the thing that I think we so many times separate ourselves from when we're hopeless. We don't believe there's a turnaround. But I mean, like, you know, I've had tons of healing and there's still lots of things that God is working on in my life. But speaking is one of them. But the other day, there's some stuff going on in my life. The other day, I was led by the Lord to read Gideon. And I'm reading this story, and Gideon in Judges chapter 6 is whining to the Lord. Why should I believe you? You say I'm this, but why should I believe you? There's been no miracles. There's been nothing happening. How do I know this is even God? And I know those feelings. I am familiar with those feelings. Yeah. And I'm like, why should I even believe you? But yeah, I'm just like, okay, I'm there with you, right, Gideon? And the Lord says, I wrote this down because I wanted to repeat it. The Lord says, go with the strength that you have. I was like, you know, he's not telling Gideon, okay, pull it together, Gideon. Get this right. Get your head in the game. He's not saying any of that. He's just like, go with the strength that you have.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, give me what you have. And it's weakness. Just give it to me. I'm sending you. I will be with you. I'm going before you. I'm going behind you. You're my child. I love you. You're a kid of a great king. We got this. It's not a problem. You're going to slay all the Midianites. It's not going to be an issue. Just go with what you have. And that's powerful. That's the story of the Bible over and over again. Joseph, look at him. I mean, those are the stories that we need to be filling our heads with when we're in those places of hopelessness. And I just can't even say enough about how amazing God has been in my life to turn my story around.
That's beautiful, Donna. Wow.
Yeah, it's so good.
That is so good because, you know, so many people can relate to that, to all of these, you know, that we're sharing right now. There's so much that people in today's world, and that's why, you know, I really felt the Lord said, let's do this topic, because, you know, we're in a situation now, there's wars everywhere, there's things happening all around, and it's really easy when we fix our gaze and our eyes on what's happening in the world around us to lose hope, to lose heart. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus and what he said, that he would never leave us or forsake us, then we know that we can have hope in the midst of all that's happening. Mm-hmm. Donna, you said one word that really stuck out to me. I mean, all of what you said did, but a specific word is the word believe. Mm-hmm. All things are possible to those who believe. And sometimes it's not easy when you've got circumstances happening around, and when you know, your faith is weak and you're being bombarded with life itself and children and things happening. But believe, when we can believe, no matter what's happening, God can turn situations around. He did it for Gideon. He did it for so many in the Word, but he's also doing it for us. We read those stories. Those are testimonies. But what about our testimonies? So
love that. Jen, I was thinking the same thing, Peggy. Yeah. Ours are everybody's valuable.
Go ahead, Janet.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think a lot of people, they are like, oh, you know, the Bible stories, you know, they don't, no big deal, but they happened thousands of years ago or whatever. But the thing is, those are very poignant, very real stories with practical application. And that didn't stop, right? I mean, all of those kinds of things continued. And that's one of the things I really loved about Lee Strobel's book, A Case for Christ. And that's how he ends it. Like, essentially, you have all of this information and all of these facts that substantiate this and prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt before what is actually mathematically possible. And at the end, the bottom line is, Christ still lives. It chokes me up every time. He's still doing his thing. People are still experiencing miracles every single day. They are still experiencing breakthroughs. So when I talked about the exasperation part, that's me. Because I can take, well, for example, okay, so I have a good friend of mine named Debbie. She's so precious. She said something once. She said, I've experienced the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in such an incredible way that if he never did anything for me again the rest of my life, I'd be okay. And I thought, man, I would love to have that kind of faith, you know, because for me, I feel like the hog that wants more all the time, right? I mean, I it's never enough. Like, and concurrently, I'm the sinner that forgets about those things that he's already done. So then, you know, all of these fantastic things happen, and I have had incredible experiences and aha moments and things that cause people to pause. What? You had that happen? And yet I can still the very next day encounter another crisis and totally forget about all that stuff. And then as I am praying for, like I said, breakthrough on several areas that I've literally been waiting, if not 20 years on more. And it seems so frustrating because then the sinner in me thinks, well, why did you do all of that, those things for, you know, the little things, but why can't you come through for me on the big things? And I have to be very mindful of my heart posture, where my mind is. And thus, I know I'm speaking to somebody right now because, just for example, the global picture, you know, for, I don't know about you girls, but for years we've heard, okay, well, you better get right. The Lord is coming. You better get right. Things are going to change. You better, God's really going to, you know, he's going to show you who he is. And there are still people today that are going, yeah, well, God's not really showing me who he is. And we're all just seeing all of those prophecies unfold before our very eyes. And there are still people that don't get it. And so honing it back in on a mini scale here, a focus on just my own life, I feel like I can do that too. And I can be very forgetful of those things that he's done and feel very exasperated as I wait. And then once I wrapped my mind around the fact that if I do not have glistening, overflowing hope that leads to abundant joy in a specific area of my life, there's a stronghold on that part. So just process that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because that changes things a little bit. And then we get back to partnership. And partnership may just be trusting. It may be simply waiting. It simply may be Exodus 14:14, shutting our mouths and waiting God for to do his thing. Believing that he fights for us, all of those things, and or it could be standing up, like I said earlier, and taking charge and saying, well, wait a minute. I rebuke that. I don't accept that. I'm not going to believe that lie anymore. And so therefore, patience and partnership work together where hope is concerned, as far as I'm thinking. And it was a good tie. It's good for me now because I too am waiting. You know, I too still have hope. And then I'm drawn to this one. I looked it up this morning. I couldn't find it. But years ago, my husband called attention to a show on NBC or ABC. It was a documentary of some kind. And they were interviewing people in prison. And they said that the one thing every single person, every human had in prison was hope. That's the one thing that we all have. We have hope. And hope looks different than, well, I hope my sandwich tastes good today. You know, that's not it. It's hope, like you spoke to, Peggy, that something is going to change, and it's going to change in a profound way. And whether they realize it or not, that's all hooked to the God creator that put that in us in the first place as our birthright. So the minute we stop losing hope, our lives are over.
Yeah.
So we always want to have that hope. And just one more thing. I didn't think of anything one specifically to say, but I know someone needs to hear it, and I've shared it before, and it's certainly not the most significant, but it was the most long-term in my life. My brother got into drugs when he was a teenager, and he could never break, for a while, he couldn't break free of that. And For 35 years, I prayed. And we all prayed. The family anguished. We all prayed. You know, there were phone calls in the middle of the night. My husband finally had to say, you know what, I think you need to turn your phone off at night. And there was a lot of talking down off of ledges. And yet 35 years later, something happened, and he became clean. And he loves Jesus. And I think he's been clean and loving Jesus for, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. I can't remember. No. It's been a while. But I know somebody needs to hear that, because you might think in your 29th year or your 34th year or whatever it is, as you pray and you contend for something, that it's just not happening. And that's when hopelessness starts to kick in. But I would argue that it's all, you're going to always feel the most hopeless right before the breakthrough. Yeah. If you are standing with the Lord, partnering with him, and continuing to pray.
That is so good, Janet. Thank you for sharing that, because mm-hmm. that is, and a lot of times, you know, especially with our kids and moms, and we're all of us on here are moms, mm-hmm. we've had to press in for our children and or for family members, and it looks like it's never going to happen. And sometimes, even in this lifetime, in this world system, it doesn't, at least the way we think it should. But God is bigger than even our plans and our thoughts. And so I'm not going to specifically go into that with my own testimony. But I do want to ask you, Missy, because as I was listening to everybody, and I know, you know, you're big on, we're all big on this, but I was listening just kind of how everyone's been sharing. And the one word that came to me is identity. So in what we've been sharing, or even in your own story or stories, you, like all of us, we've got many, but definitely thinking about, you know, your story with getting your daughter and all that you had to go through. So just maybe just speak in, or anything else that you have that you want to share on that.
Well, just listening to all this, let me just say the devil is a liar. And he is constantly, his job is not to like boost you up and have you worship the Lord at all. His job is to make you feel bad about yourself, to make you think that the Father has just forgotten you, that you don't matter, that you're not loved. He constantly will throw everything at you that creates a hopeless place in your heart, in your mind. Yeah. And so that happened to us in our story. Every single person was saying, do not go over there. I mean, we had a hurricane coming at us. Who wants to get on an airplane and go into a hurricane? I didn't, but I did it. It was, you know, so what you have to you know, I'm not saying we have to do anything, but the biggest thing we have to do is take captive our thoughts. It goes back to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right now, the way we won the victory is I wasn't afraid. I wasn't hopeless when I was going after my daughter, because I had the promises of God. And sometimes we have to remember, what did God say about this situation? What did God say about me? It is about your identity. You are a child of God. That makes you a daughter of the King. That makes you a son of the King. You are treated different and you think differently. And so if you're in the low frequencies of hopelessness, of guilt, of shame, of all those things that you feel you're not good enough, that'll create hopelessness. So I just encourage you to come out of that place by remembering who you are. Who did God create you to be? He created you to rule and reign.
Yeah.
And if you aren't ruling and reigning and you're letting the enemy hold you down, then he's got you exactly where he wants you. But the way you stop is you make him irrelevant. The devil is irrelevant if you stop giving him all the attention. If you stop believing what he's saying about you and say, wait a minute, my father wouldn't say that about me.
Right.
My father wouldn't say that he doesn't love me. My father wouldn't tell me to do something horrible to myself. That's not my father. That means you are the liar. That means you're the father of lies. So I just want to encourage you to, if there is that hopelessness, whose word are you believing? Because your father loves you. He created you to rule and reign. So step into that authority, step into that place of, I know who I am. And that's how we won, because I stood up against the top people in Ethiopia and I did not back down. I didn't care that they were going to throw me in prison. I didn't care. I was going to get that little girl and I was going to let them have it in the meantime. But I stepped into the authority of God's promises.
Yeah.
So remember God's promises. That's what makes you a don't mess with person, because you're a don't mess child of God. That's what makes you that. You know who your daddy is.
Exactly.
You know what it says about you. So that's what I have to say.
Can I just read a scripture that I looked up while she was talking, because it was reminding, and she just led right into it perfectly. It's from the Message translation. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And it's talking about Abraham and when God promised him. And it says, Abraham plunged into the promise and came up strong. I mean, what Missy's saying is absolutely the truth. The way to overcome hopelessness is to plunge, take the dive, go into the promise, live in the promise, go to the promised land, and know that you are a child of a great King who loves you completely. And you sit at his table, you eat the choicest meats, you don't take the scraps, because he's the King and you're the kid, and you got it all because you're the kid of a great King. He's amazing.
I also want to add to what Missy said too about, it just really resonated with me, and I know it will with you all as well. So even the lies, let's say that you aren't believing the lies that the enemy is perpetuating or throwing at you. If he can't get to you, remember, he's going to use someone else. And he'll use somebody like a friend or a spouse or someone in your sphere, someone on social media, something. People will start coming after you because he's, as the father of lies, he's deceiving them too. And he's deceiving them about you as well. And so rather than accept those lies, just remember who you are as well. Because I know for a time, you know, with a lot of that kind of barrage, you start questioning, well, wait, am I? And you start believing it that way. And I think it's sometimes easier even to believe the lies that others would perpetuate against you than even what you would, I don't know, generate against yourself. And so I think it's important to remember that. Just to always ask the Lord who he thinks you are and concurrently who he sees in that other person that may be giving you grief.
Oh,
I've had to do that.
Yeah, that's so good, Janet. It's so good. And, you know, we all have stories. We all have testimonies and can share. And, you know, you may be out there now and saying, well, you know, it's just not working for me. And, you know, in all these things we've talked about, identity and believing and taking our thoughts captive and our words, speaking words of life, you know, because the Bible says life and death are in what we speak, what we say, blessing and cursing. So we can either bless our situation, even if we don't see it happening yet, or we can curse it. I would, you know, like to share quickly just a testimony of something that the Lord brought to pass. I had to wait for it when I was living by total faith, you know, not knowing where my money was going to come, where my income was going to come, except from God, and had to learn to walk that for 7 years. I knew that in the last 2 years of that the Lord had promised me that he was going to provide a home for me. I was getting ready to transition out of Nashville, had been living as the Lord had instructed, you know, from place to place, because he had a purpose in all those places. He opened the doors, I didn't. And they were really nice places. I mean, but it was God's plan for a purpose. But when I moved back to North Carolina, the Lord promised me, I knew it. I didn't hear a thus saith the Lord, but I knew in my heart, because of what his word says and what his promises in his word are, that he would take care of me. He would provide for me. He would make sure that I had shoes on my feet and clothes on my back and gas in my car and all these things. And so he had revealed to me that I would have a home. Well, you would think when I leave Nashville and come back here, the home would be waiting for me, but it wasn't. And so I had to remain in faith, believing in the hope that God had already spoke it, and then trust him in that. And I went another almost a whole year before I even a door was opened. But I kept saying, God, I know you've got it. And so I kept using my words. I didn't doubt. I didn't say, well, I don't guess it's going to happen. God, you know, apparently I didn't hear from the Lord, whatever. No, I stood on what I knew the Lord had promised. And my hope and my expectation and my joy was all in it. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I would ask the Lord, and then I would wait, and he would start revealing things. He revealed the area that he wanted me to pray into. You know, God doesn't want us just anywhere to live. He wants us in the area that he knows we're going to flourish and others around us are going to prosper because we're in that area. According to Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 29:3, that we prosper in the land that he leads us to, and others prosper as well. And so, So I knew the area I was supposed to be in. I had people on the lookout, but I didn't stress about it. I just waited on God. And then last August, out of nowhere, I ran into an old friend who I was just sharing about needing a place to live, if he heard of anything. Well, the next day he reached out and said, my mom passed away 6 years ago, and my sister and I have not, rented her house or done anything, but I talked to my sister, and I feel like we're supposed to rent it to you if you want to. Same location God had spoken that I was to pray into, and now, since last October, I'm sitting in my own home, decorated my home. God's provided everything. So when we trust God in the waiting is hard. But when we believe and have hope and know that he's not going to disappoint us, that's when the prayers get answered and the testimony. So now I have a testimony. We all have a testimony of the goodness of God. And so I share that for someone that may be out there. Maybe it's not your house situation, but it's another situation that you need to know that you've heard God, you're standing on what he promised, and you're speaking it with your words. And so that's my testimony. Anyone have something you want to speak into that?
I guess I would just say, I think the thing that we're all just really contending for and waiting on right now, we have all of our personal things, but on a global scale, things to kind of come around. And so much of the world as we've known has changed since, you know, 2019. And the Lord has just been revealing in government and politics and countries and relationships and churches and every single thing down to the tiniest little microcosm. I feel like he's just exposing. And we're relearning everything about the world around us and ourselves in the process, about the way we worship and all of it. And I think there are a lot of people in this hour that are literally at the end of their rope, because they have been waiting and they've been hoping that things will change. And we now see that there was a reason for that, because had God solved everything in the very beginning, people wouldn't have gotten it. He needed to really flay everything open and expose it so people could look at it boldly in the face and say, okay, well, I get it now. And so I think we're getting closer to that. But I know that I've experienced those in my own life, and I know that you have too, that are very negative about the future, extremely worried about the future, totally worked up and immersed in anxiety about the future. And it's just really, really hard to show hopefulness to these people, to show hope. And then even when I was working, I just really just had it on my heart. I walked away from a position a couple of weeks ago. But while I was there, I just had it on my heart to always be positive and always encourage people that there is zero reason for us to be pining away or, you know, hoarding, stockpiling food and waiting for that, you know, day that the bomb will drop kind of thing. Because that was one of those things that I pretty early on heard God on. And I didn't know what the rest of the world was saying, but I'm just going to say it right now. And I don't care. I do care, but I'm sorry. I apologize for, it's not about what I think. It's about what God thinks. And he told me, I guess it was maybe 3 years ago, that Trump would be back. And I knew what he had told me, but I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know how it would look. And I think a lot of us were, you know, contending for at least, please let it change. Let conservative values come back into play. Let us be protected as a country, you know, so many things. And I know that there were even those believers who just wanted to be very contentious in conversations about Trump. So I always really laid low with that. And my feeling was always, listen, it doesn't have to be my choice. And I don't think we should be voting personalities. This is what got us into trouble in the first place. But what we do need to be very mindful of is discernment in the Lord. And as long as we're discerning, we can hear what he has to say. And that was just one of the pieces of the puzzle that the Lord was saying, yeah, you know what, we've got to get through some stuff, but this is the way it's going to look. And so for me, that gave me so much hope, is knowing I had heard correctly. And then even within my own family, you know, there were eye rolls. In one case, oh, well, he's a schlub or whatever. You know what I mean? And all I could say was, listen, it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's not about my choice. It's about what God has decreed and what he says is going to happen. And I believe that. And I believe that not just because I know it's going to have a good outcome and the world is going to be a better place, not because I need something to hold on to through all of the stuff I see is coming, and we've been through a lot, all of us, because for everything that's happened on a global level, I think I would argue there's probably 100 things that have happened on a personal level for all of us. It's been a time, but my point in even sharing that, and I haven't even been that open before, because honestly, in one case, I said that just to be hopeful to a family member, and he just turned on me and just... And it was not a pleasant conversation. I ended up actually having to hang up. And that wasn't what I meant. I wasn't wanting to be right. And I wasn't wanting to, like, I don't know. I just wanted to give hope, you know. And I just knew, I thought, well, that's the best way to give hope. But not everybody sees it that way. And I don't know. I didn't mean to even share that, but maybe it was Holy Spirit. I just think, hear what he has to say and just hold on to that. So when a few days ago, we had some other news about Iran and Israel, all I knew is, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to tell one family member in particular that I know sits in front of her television set all day, please, whatever you hear, just go within and be peace, experience the peace of the Lord. because what we see happening, what we see perpetrated in the media, and I say that, I use that word intentionally, is not necessarily the truth. Just hold on to what God, to just believe in what God is doing now. And I don't know. Maybe I should, that's just a topic for another day.
Yeah,
but it's just given me hope. It's given me so much hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hope is here. Hope is a part of what it's part of our, what we have in Christ. And so, you know, we don't want our hope to lose hope or have hope deferred because of situations and circumstances and what's going on in the world around us. Let's stay focused. Let's stay, keep our heart set, mm-hmm. our heart fixed on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we're trusting in him and when we're relying on him, we know that he is going to walk with us. He's going to carry us when we need to be carried. And he's going to run with us when we need to run. All these things. I have come to find out in these last years of really just focusing on intimacy with the Lord, intimacy with my bridegroom, intimacy with the Father, that intimacy is not all the fuzzy wuzzies all the time. And, oh, I just feel his presence. Intimacy is a daily trust, mm-hmm. a daily walk, when it's the good times and when it's not the so good times. Mm-hmm. But when I do that and know that he is constantly with me, when we do that, he doesn't leave us. We leave him sometimes, but he doesn't leave us. He's always with us. And so I know we're probably getting close to our time, but any comments, anything anybody wants to say as we get close to finishing up? Donna, Missy, Janet?
I just say, what's your mindset? If you feel yourself going down into that hopelessness, just be still and ask the Father, what has taken me there? And repent quickly of coming into agreement with things that are pulling you down. So he says to be quick to repentance. So often, sometimes I'll stay away from Facebook because I see things, especially when elections are coming. and you just have to guard your heart and guard your eyes, guard what you hear, guard what you see, and don't let the enemy have a heyday with you. Remember, you have the authority over him. He is irrelevant.
Yeah.
If you take your position.
Donna?
He's like an ant at a picnic, mildly inconvenient.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm glad that what you said, Peggy, because I really was marinating in this morning. Really, you cannot have hope unless you are willing to get with the Lord and in a peaceful situation. Hope is hard to find when you're too busy, when you're too active, when there's too much going on, when there's so much noise, and you know the world has never been such a place of sensory overload. So I think the best place to find hope and discernment obviously leads to hope, is just getting into a quiet place with the Lord, and like Peggy said, being intimate with him. And then there's nothing that's going to happen in the world that's going to bother you. I mean, you're going to see things that are troubling, and you'll want to pray for those things. I'm not by any means advocating you bury your head in the sand and you stop paying attention, but you try to pay attention and seek truth and pray for truth, and then pray as it's delivered to you.
Yeah. Good. That's good.
Thank you, Peggy, for leading such a great discussion today.
I would like to pray over those who will be watching this, if that's okay.
I would love to have you do that. I do want to share a verse that I keep forgetting to share, and it's one that I used to take to work with me, and I actually wrote it out and journaled it in a way where I had like different drawings that went with it. It was something we kept, and I left with the girls when I left where I was working. It's Romans 15:13. Now may God, the fountain, this is out of the Passion Translation. I love this. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround you, your life, with his superabundance, until, ladies, you radiate with hope. So let's radiate with hope. Let's radiate with so much hope and boundless joy that those that we come in contact with have to catch some of that. Amen. Romans 15:13. Passion Translation. Okay, Peggy. It's all yours.
Thank you so much, Janet. The scripture that I just kind of want to close in prayer is Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 says, I would have lost heart, or I would have lost hope, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so, Father, I'm just so thankful that you have given us your word. You have given us your promises. You have filled our mouths with good things, the good things of your word. And so, Lord, today, for those that may be listening to this and they're struggling right now, they've lost hope, that they just can't believe in your promises anymore, or circumstances have overwhelmed them. I just ask today, Holy Spirit, that your wraparound presence will just go and surround them, engulf them, and just put that warm banner of love around them, that they will feel the warmth of your love, the warmth of your presence, and that they will be assured that you said in your word that you would never leave them. You would never forsake them. You are always with them. And so encourage them today where hope feels lost, where hope feels deferred, that you, God, are surrounding them with new hope, with fresh faith, with fresh trust in you, believing in you as their loving heavenly daddy, as their loving bridegroom, or those out there that need you for a friend or need you for their husband, whatever. You are all things to us that we need in the moment. And so I just ask today that you will surround them like a shield, lift them up out of the hopelessness or out of despair, and bring them into a place of new hope, new life, new believing, new trust. And for those that are already believing you but need their hope increased, I just speak and declare over you today that hope has come forth. Hope is arising in your life, and that you are walking in victory because the victory has already been won. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, because he will strengthen, and he already is strengthening your heart by the power of the testimonies that it brought forth today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I felt that. Anything else you wanted to say, Donna? I felt like maybe I interjected too soon.
No, I don't really have anything to say. I can give you a quote that I was thinking about. Nelson Mandela said, may your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears.
That's a good one. All right. Well, may the rest of you, everyone, all of you ladies, and those that have tuned in with us today, I pray, like Peggy said, that you are filled to overflowing with hope, and not just glistening, abundant hope, but radiant hope. Until next time, thanks for joining us on Color Speak.
Bye-bye.